Good morning, good afternoon, and good day to our Dad Timeout Show listeners around the world. Welcome to the Dad Timeout Show. We're just four dads with 12 kids between us, and we all, oddly enough or not, work in the entertainment industry. We're not parenting experts, but we do listen to them. We interview them, we read what they have to say, and we report back to you and ourselves to see how we're doing. It's a place to put your feet up or down, relax, listen, and let us do all the legwork, research, and reading. All articles, interviews, and show notes are now available on dadtimeoutshow.com after each show, and we're very interactive with our listeners on the Instagram, so if you could like us, message us, or follow us, we'd be grateful forever. In tonight's show, of course, the dads kick off with a little catch-up, a little end of summer, back to schoolish type of chatter. Then they'll move on to discuss funny parent tweets of the week about all sorts of random stuff. And their article tonight in Smart Articles by Smart People is, "My kid wants to be an influencer. Is that bad?" It's an article from Wired, and it's their spiritual advice columnist advises a parent who's freaking out about their six-year-old's ambitions to make a life online. And then moving things along, our famous show quiz, timely or not, will be about the Olympics or France or Paris or rowing or rings or something. But there's a good quiz coming up. And finally, things that make the guys smile. Speaking of things that make me smile, I am joined by the freshly showered and good friend of the show. This young lady, what's your name, ma'am?
Lola.
And Lola, have you brought us the ceremonial dad joke of the night or kid joke?
Yep.
All right, let's let her rip.
Why did the golfer have an extra pair of pants?
Why did the golfer have an extra pair of pants? I don't know.
In case he got a hole in one.
In case he got a hole in one? That is amazing. The crowd goes wild. Coming around the corner, the dads. Thank you, Lola. Head into the house. Dad Timeout Show coming up next.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show.
Oh, that's the harp. That must mean the dads have come around the corner.
We flittered in.
What are you doing there with your arms?
I'm flittering.
What is that
he's
motion?
Floating. Like, you know, flying.
With your arms. Hi, guys.
Hey there. How's it going?
Cheers.
Cheers, yo.
There's nothing like enjoying a beverage on a summer night with friends doing a podcast about fatherhood and parenting. How are you guys?
Well, and tonight is an absolutely gorgeous night.
Yeah.
It is a gorgeous night.
It's amazing.
Can I give you a couple week highlights?
Yeah.
Week highlights. You know, just as we say, we just kick the can around at the top of the show before we get into the meat and potatoes. Have any of your kids ever said, I want to be an influencer? Like, that's how I want to make my money?
Yes.
Oh, okay. No. We're going to get into that tonight. Pretty good article from Wired.
Yeah.
I've been kind of addicted to that magazine lately because it's the coffee shop that I go to and it's free and I don't take the copy. But every once in a while, I'll tear out an article.
Oh, you tear it out?
I'm that guy. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But they're old. Like, it's if you're reading in August, you know, 2022 Wired at this point. But it was a very good article. But so we have big news around here. I don't even know how to tell you. Do I have a drum? Oh, that's more of a cymbal kick. That didn't work. But you ready for the big news of the week?
Yeah. Big news.
Okay. So it's back to school around our house, right?
Yes.
So my wife and I are kind of splitting duties on the back to school shopping-esque kind of things. But I got to do clothes with my son.
Hmm.
Which my daughter came along too. She's a very fashionista. Like, here's what you need to wear. Because she's nice. A junior. He's going to be a freshman.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, Dad, like, you don't know what they wear. I know what they wear.
That's a good plan.
You can't have him wear skin tight, you know, this and that, because that's not up here in the big leagues. But, however, I think I alluded to this last show. One of my favorite new tour stops on the Kennedy Journeys of the Week is this little tiny store called Sephora.
Mm.
Sephora. Yes, let's hear it for Sephora. So, I think you know my what might be coming, but my daughter and my son, we kind of went to the one store. We got some pants. It was all good. Then they disappeared, and I'm like, I trust them. They're older. They're like, well, I'm going to go sit in one of those older men recliner massage chairs.
Yeah.
Really do a good job on the calves, by the way. Great job on the calves. So then my Spidey sense said, I bet they went up to Sephora, which is not a hard sell for me anymore. So I just roamed in, and my son's like, Dad, I didn't even know I was going to be in here, and now I'm here, and I'm trapped. You know, because he doesn't know the
secret cologne aisle.
Well, yes. And if you go to a bigger Sephora, there is a more advanced cologne aisle. So I said, it was a so beautiful father and son moment.
Father and son, first cologne.
I said, this is the time. This is it. This is the window.
Wow.
First cologne.
That's so funny.
First cologne. He goes, so we walk up as precious as he could be. He's like, Dad, what do you do? How do we do this? Like, what do you do? And I go, okay, let me explain some ground rules to you. You're like, I'm like, here's the little strips of paper, you know, and here's what we're going to square around.
Yeah.
And I go, anyone, without even like looking at the wall, like, and all the nice ones are up at this place. It's like, you know, you do have the Tom Fords and the nicer level ones from France. And so he's literally reeling off celebrities. He's like, oh, that's Timothy Chalamet. I want to try his.
Ooh.
Oh, that's Jake Gyllenhaal. I want to try his.
Ooh, they all have
like
their
it's
own
based
sense.
On celebrity appeal. Like, because he doesn't know anything about fragrance yet. Yet, keyword.
Sure.
First of many great dominoes to fall. So then he hunkers in and he goes, I really like Johnny Depp's.
Ooh.
I go, wait.
Sauvage?
Yes, Sauvage. Mark. Yes,
wow, you pulled that. Mark. Is that what you wear?
Yes.
Oh no, there's man smell in common.
I have a number of. I too appreciate the cologne.
Ooh. Really?
Oh, I have a. Anyway, yes. Please continue.
No. So I'm glad you knew that because I feel like I'm an alien in this conversation.
Dude, I am so with you right now. What you're saying?
We go in and he tries a couple and he's like, Dad, I really think this smells nice. I like this one, Sauvage.
Yeah.
I said, all right. And then his sister drug him out. They went to get boba or something. So, you know, as you would like buy secret Christmas presents or something when you're with the kids, you're like, hey, go walk over there and let me purchase that and stick it in the bag.
Aww.
So I brought it and then I unveiled it. We did a whole unboxing, like we unwrapped the wrapper.
Wow.
And then we got home and he's like, okay, how do I do it? And I'm like, okay, there's many methods.
What do? The wrist spray and then rub and then wipe on the neck?
Whoa. Sound like you've done this before, Chris.
I mean, I remember in ninth grade.
There's a couple ways, right? It depends it depends how good the cologne is because some will come and go fast.
Yes.
So then you want to hit your clothing because the clothing will hold on to it for a minute.
Interesting.
Now, some react with the body, and especially if you're warm, the body will keep it going. Yes.
So you do the spray and walk into the mist?
Yeah, but I said to him, I'll never forget this because I had just got my cologne and deodorant, like double header in high school. I don't do wrists.
That's where the pulse
is. I know.
That keeps it going.
Wrist
and neck.
All right. Well, if you don't know how to put on cologne, we're giving you several methods now. But there's a couple interesting things, and we got to move on. But I told him at first, because when I was a kid, I wore too much Lime deodorant and cologne simultaneously on the bus. And I was silent, but everybody around me was like, it was like a movie. Like, oh my God, what's that smell? What is that horrific? No. Remember the scene in Bridesmaids? Or no. What movie was it? Anchorman. When he put on the Panther one and everybody, that's what I had on the school bus.
Yes.
I'm not going to use the language, but what I mean.
Yes.
Sasquatch is blank.
It's supposed to make him feel manly.
Yeah. So I'm like, listen, why don't we just start light, you know, and if you're going to the movies, or if you're going out with your guy, you know, for the night, or you're even post-football, maybe. But, you know, that's not a big deal. More deodorant and shower type of thing after a game. So, we did the whole kit and caboodle. And then the girl in there said to me, the really nice girl, now I'm an Iowa Sephora card-carrying member, by the way. I got free gifts and everything.
Wow.
These little facial things from Drunk Elephant. Mom listening will know exactly
Drunk
what I'm talking
Elephant.
About.
That's nice.
She said to me, she's like, I'm glad your son appreciates cologne. She's like, boy, for a while, we're in the era of Axe body spray. Yeah. She's like, it was horrible. She's in her early 20s.
That's awesome.
She's like, every guy I dated just doused himself with this nasty Axe. I guess they'll never be a partner, but yeah. So anyway, that was the big news. Other than that, I wanted to applaud our locksmith who came out to the house after one of my sibling or my children broke a key off in the key area where all our equipment's stored. But here's what I say. I have a true appreciation for the craftsmen of the world yet once again. Because here's a guy that was so nice. It's a very specific craft. And then he was explaining things to me as he did. He goes, oh, the guy that I was an apprentice for is now a safe master.
Wow.
So he only does safes.
Ooh.
He's like, but what's white hot in my industry is digital keys.
Ooh,
and he's like, and figuring out the digital keys.
Yeah.
He's like, so that's what I'm studying now. He's like, but he went through my house. I said, I'm having a little jiggle problem here. And my doors are, he's like, I got you. And he went through and we just talked through and he got his little tiny tools out and did his little magic.
Wow.
I love locksmiths now.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say.
Tradespeople are no joke, man. It's,
well,
when you
yeah.
have a good tradesman
like
come over.
A dying breed or
I
something.
I do. You know? And like, you know, I don't know if you guys like or follow Mike Rowe from the Dirty Jobs. He's a very smart guy. He's got a whole, I think it's a TED Talk actually, where he says that we're in big trouble because the craftsmen are dying off. Everybody's going for the, ironically on our show tonight, we're talking about the not quick bucks, but the money of an influencer versus a pipe fitter, a carpenter, a plumber, and a heating and air guy, girl, whatever.
What's interesting is that, in my trajectory of people at my son's age, my 18-year-old's age, I found a decent amount of people going into the trades. So maybe they're an anomaly. I don't know. Hmm. But and they're Bay Area people wanting to go into the trades. You know, my neighbor is an electrician, and after talking to him about his pay and his retirement and all the things that comes with it, I'm like, well, that sounds pretty darn good if you're, you know, so those trades are no joke.
Well, the funny part is, in my head, I'm like, they're going to be, the ones that are doing that type of work are going to be able to charge whatever they want in the next 10 years because it's going to be so rare
be one
to
in
find
the
quality people, right? So, yeah.
Plus, robots can't take over, you know, and
they
come over.
Well, they can't come out if you break the lock in the...
Yeah.
Yeah. We had three issues in the house. And you know how you just feel like when you get those things that have been nagging you for so long and you're like,
it's
oh, my gosh.
Scratch that itch.
Yeah, it scratched the itch. The only one other thing I wanted to talk about before we get into the big show is I noticed this afternoon, I feel like my ears are prematurely aging. Do you look in the mirror and think, like, do you ever focus on your ears?
I actually do, but like, I don't feel like they're, what do you mean? Like they're getting all wrinkly
or sagging?
I feel like
mine are older than my face.
Really?
I'm wearing headphones right now.
I can't see.
Yeah, but
I did notice that, you know, the hairs are starting to come out of everywhere.
Well,
you gotta
trim your ear hairs.
Whack back the
hairs.
Well,
I know that. Yeah. Hair migrates on guys. It's so funny. Like, I don't have much around my ankles anymore, but I'll be darned if I never had shoulder Sasquatch before, and now all of a sudden I'm growing carpet up there. It's like, what's happening?
Your body's saying, keep me warmer.
I don't know what it's doing, but
keep
I noticed
warmer,
and I thought, I thought selfishly and narcissistically, like, do people like see my old ears and then talk about me?
Like, we've been talking about his ears for a long time. I think we're like MK's ears.
Oh
man, he needs some oil.
Like, I leave a meeting and they're like, you know, he's funny, but boy, the chin and those
got
ears,
that Buddha
my
hang
God.
Down ears, something dropping over there.
Yeah,
no, your ears
like
look
tribal.
Oh my gosh!
So did you get some ear
wax or lotion? He has some earrings.
Is there ear lotion? I bet you there is some ear.
See, my wife has a mirror on
lotion
her side.
For everything.
Well, yeah. You know my oil of the labor.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was the only other thing I wanted to talk about was cologne, ears, and a locksmith.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Well, after the show's over, we'll look at your ears, and then we'll report on the next show.
Maybe that's
if
the
you
problem.
Have old ears.
You should post it on the gram, you know.
That I'm wearing a headset all the time, and I get a lot of ear fatigue.
Mm.
Maybe
my ears are aging prematurely. Maybe that's rock stars happen too.
Those MMA fighters
right.
with the cauliflower ear.
Yes.
Like too much headphone.
You know, I feel like we're on hallowed ground. I know it's not like 2.6 million, but every time I look at our Instagram, seems like we've jumped up another 100. And it just makes me happy every time I look.
Yeah.
So I thank some of our brand new followers. These are just in hot off the wire. First time mommy, XO. Dad bod sculptors. Actually, super cool dude. I talked to him, just messaged him back and forth. But he's like, hey, anybody that's ready to push the dad movement forward, I'm all in. Dare to Dad, Jesse Jarvis. Auto Spare Parts. Dad Frat 1. Culture of Man. In the Breach, Dad Be Serious. So I love the names, if nothing else. Scott's PR9, Born to Hustle 22, and finally, last but not least, let me put, you know, we should have like a giveaway. I mean, how do I do that properly where I give people
you do like a random something? And then, yeah.
But can people game me if I give them like a $100 gift certificate or something? Anyway, I'll finish off with today, start fresh. Okay, so they're all the brand newbies that have probably got a million followers. But
thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Coming up next, tweets of the week.
Time now for the tweets of the week. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
All right, this is that magical time. Magical, truly magical on this dusk evening in California.
More harp, more harp.
It's probably about 72 out here.
Man, it's lovely.
Light breeze out of the west. My wife and I solved a mystery fragrance that was in the backyard. It was very exciting. Learning a lot about cooperation in the class that I'm taking called Science of Happiness from Berkeley, Cal. If you know it,
I'm really liking the tidbits.
You like those tidbits?
Yeah. I like the tidbits for those a lot. Tidbits. Well, you thankfully give it for free. We appreciate
it. So I said
you.
To my wife, I think something died over there. She goes, I don't think anything died over there. I said, smell it over there. She goes, oh, something died over here.
Sauvage.
No. What is Sauvage?
Christian Dior does not make a bad fragrance.
Johnny Depp Sauvage.
Come on, man.
Anyway, our teamwork found that it was this. One of those fountains. So we have these little, like, tiny fountains in the backyard.
Oh,
and sometimes when I run out of water, I'll just pour,
dude,
like,
I was telling
soda
you,
and stuff
in
them.
Soda in there.
No, I said
come
that.
On,
yeah,
man.
It smelled like dead fish.
Oh, bad.
We had to kill it. It's actually out on the front curb if you want to get it on your way out. Just ammonia through. And here I was full ready to blame my neighbors. And then my wife's like, oh, no, it's this little fountain here.
It's the funk you created.
So speaking of funk we've created, tweet number one is from It's Her the Field, a sure field. I always like to give credit properly because we do not write these. We just react to them. And these people are far funnier than we are. Have kids so you can find a banana peel in your washing machine after you wash your clothes. What is the weirdest thing that... I can go first since you guys are obviously stumped. Well, Chris in his fancy UCLA sweatshirt. You gave up on the Nautica that you were wearing over here every week.
It's a little too hot for that.
A little too hot.
He stopped being the Gorton's fisherman.
He was. He did look like the Gorton's fisherman.
Full on.
Anyway.
So, post-Halloween, I found Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Oof. They survived or they were all smeared
they
up?
They were like kind of like squished to the right, still in the wrapper.
Oh, it must have been a cold cycle.
And then the side part of me is like, should I throw it out or should I take a bite?
Oh, they're probably clean.
Oh, no.
Clean, right?
Ew. Yeah, they're better.
No. Kids were eating Tide Pods for a while.
I mean. Jolly Ranchers, Tan Bark, nothing too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing too, you know, popsicles. Like not popsicles. You know.
The sticks.
Yeah. Well, no, actually the whole like Dum-Dums and.
Oh, lollipops. And
lollipops.
Candy.
And so, yes, thank you.
Now we've done the retainer where we get all upset
because
we're not supposed to.
Yeah, that's money.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of thing. Or loose change. Or where's that $2 bill that I got?
Oh, well, see,
hey,
that,
found it in the dryer.
You know? That's confiscated.
Any money I find's mine.
That's, totally.
Huh.
Confiscated.
I should start doing, yeah. Why am I even.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, be the truth be told, we have what we call the Tiny Chef account.
Yes.
So I have this little character called the Tiny Chef, and I bought the little stuffy, and he sits in this big tin thing on a refrigerator. So anytime I find money, I chuck it in there anywhere in the house. And then when I need my car washed, that's the money I use.
Oh,
so the kids are constantly paying for my car washes.
That's beautiful.
Better than them, right?
It is beautiful. You know,
yeah.
Well, they could be that's in the almost, yard sponging off the car.
That's almost them cleaning the car.
Yeah.
Well, it is.
Yeah. Saves them time.
They inadvertently contribute.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I do... Yeah, I'm usually the worst, actually. My wife you will hear something banging in the dryer or the washer will stop, God forbid. And she's like, what do you have in there? I'm like, I just took all the towels from the house. She's like, we have like 20 towels. She's like, you put them all in at once?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Load management.
Yeah, load management. Mm. We did get a new dishwasher. That's another story.
Ooh, that's nice.
All right. This is from Krista Bellarina. Time After Time is my favorite song about doing the laundry. Okay, yes. Two things to unfold here. I wrote an article once for a site, and I said that I actually enjoyed folding my laundry because
it was all little.
When they were little, yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's wearing on me a little bit. So my older ones, if I tell them, like, kind of, like, force their hand, they will... So here's the scam they pull on me. They'll put them back in the hamper, unfold them. Like, I'm just going to take them to my room and I'll fold them in there because it's closer to the drawers, which is logical.
But no. It's not happening.
Little scam artists. No, the older two are, yeah. So I don't know if I don't hate it, but I don't love it. I liked folding the little tiny shirts. I thought that was cooler. Now it's like, yeah, man underwear and, you know, all sorts of stuff.
It's challenging. I do all the laundry still in my
house. Second question is, you do?
All of it.
Oh, we divide here.
No, I do. Like, every blue moon I get maybe a load.
I've actually been banned because of the three ladies.
Lucky
I'm the
you.
Only dude, you know, and now they're all in the, they have all different kind of garments and whatnot that I don't, yeah.
Really?
They have to be specially, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
I'm very focused. You, yes.
Wow, three different areas.
Three different areas.
Like you don't do any.
Yes,
he says he does it all. And I kind of do a 50-50 split.
I'm trying to get it to be more equitable, but it's hard.
Mine are, yeah, once they learned how, they really don't have a problem with it. They like actually running the machine. The other question is, Cyndi Lauper's on tour.
Ooh.
But she's playing arenas.
Huh?
Is she going to fill arenas?
No.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not knocking Cyndi Lauper.
Who's she playing with?
I don't think anybody.
Huh, okay.
I just saw she was coming out here. Chase Center is what we have out here in San Francisco.
Oh, she's playing the Chase? She's more of a Fox. Like, I'd see her at the Fox.
That's what I thought, mid-level.
Or maybe Warfield. But
I did see Olivia Rodrigo last week.
Oh, my daughter went there, too.
Nice. It was good. My daughter and I had a good date night. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Your daughter went also?
I wasn't allowed to go. I wasn't invited.
I was okay.
Yeah, because you're cool.
Well, I wouldn't say that. People were probably staring at my ears the whole time. Like,
look at that old guy's ears.
You imagine about the big screen?
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of, like, cracking on people, and then they put up, like, Dumbo.
Your ear.
And then they put this guy in section 112.
Stop the whole concert. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Look at that guy's ear.
So that's laundry. Let's move down the household to the kitchen. I don't even know if these are funny. I picked them out years ago. This is from Heat and Black. I'm at the age where I'm planning meals based on how hungry I need to be for the next meal. He's got a point. Ooh. Like, oh no, I can't have a big plate of pasta for lunch because I'm having tacos for dinner.
Yes.
Do you do that?
Oh, yeah.
You map out your day like that?
Oh, yeah. Well, if I know that we're going to go to, like, a big meal, I try to, like, you know, prep, you know, so I get my money's worth.
Do you Google the menu ahead of time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I check it. I plan my whole meal. Yeah. I plan my dessert. Oh, they have this. And then, oh, yeah. Wednesday's the special. They got the this.
Maybe if you did that at Subway, you would cut that off 8 minutes of your annoying line time.
I now prescribe to your method because the last time I went to that Subway, they were really not happy with me when I was like, well,
yeah.
They were
tell me more
so
about
upset.
The sweet onion teriyaki sauce.
You gotta move it along. Ice from Simon C. Holland. One side of our sink has a garbage disposal. The other side is where my daughter just dumped a full bowl of cereal.
Yeah.
That is very relatable in my home. I just don't get it.
When we redid our kitchen, we just got rid of that double sink. I don't even understand the point of the double sink. What is it for?
We have a single sink.
Single sink.
But even so, they'll still
miss.
They'll still dump, and you'll go to the sink, and you'll be like, you couldn't rinse that down the drain?
Or like the fourth pancake on the plate will fill up the hole. and you can't see it. And all of a sudden, like, you leave the water running, and you're like, what is blocking this? And you dig out a pancake.
My wife is one of those weird ones that, like, for some reason is, like, doesn't want to wear out our garbage disposal. So she'll, like, be like, don't put that down there. And, like, she'll put it in the compost and, like,
I'm not timid anymore. I will fully comfortably reach down in that thing.
Oh, whoa, no.
Oh, yeah, I do, too.
You reach in the thing with
it. Oh, we put spoons down there all the time.
Yeah, see, that's my pet peeve. My kids will, like, it's almost like they're throwing darts
to
the hole.
We have so many forks that are janky because the forks will fall. And then,
I threw one away because it was so mauled. I was like,
no, I don't. See, that's the thing. I don't. And then I make the kids eat with them.
Punishment.
And they're all twisted prongs. And they're like, they're macaroni swallowed up. I don't care.
They're bleeding.
Well, maybe you learned something here, bitch. Yeah,
my luck would be the one I get at my spot. Like, I got the sharp one.
No, I choose my own utensils. Let's just put it that way.
He's got his old, and he, like, unfolds out of a napkin.
Sweet Mamisa. She's very funny, by the way. When I'm upset with my, I don't know if I do this. Well, maybe I do. When I'm upset with my husband, I don't yell anymore. I wake up before him and use his favorite mug for my coffee like a normal person. Do you
petty
secret? Well, like, our wives, some of them listen to this, so I don't think we want to throw ourselves under the bus with our tricks.
I don't do any of that.
Yes, you do, Mark.
No, actually, Mark. I don't.
Mark.
Okay, you can boo or whatever you want, but
there's no booing. Mark is a positive space.
Okay,
it's a comfortable, trusting space.
So then you should trust the fact that I always feel like when you do something bad, it's going to come back at you.
I'm saying Mark. This is like lighthearted fun, Mark. Why don't you join the fun army?
Use her favorite mug. You know.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, come on, do it. Take the mug.
He's like, I will.
The little devil on the shoulder. I'm an angel on the shoulder, Chris.
I'll just reveal this, that some things mysteriously disappear. And then, you know, with a bunch of people to blame in the house, it's easy to just say, I don't know, maybe one of them. And then secondly, I'm not going to go any further than that. I don't want to incriminate myself.
My wife added the mug yesterday with the chocolate milk.
She'll tell you what I do, though.
Your favorite plastic cup? I have no idea where that went.
One thing that people don't understand about my wife and I is, A, we move on so fast that we will openly rip on each other in front of other people. And people that aren't used to us are off-put. They're like, something must be wrong over there.
Hard times.
And we couldn't move on faster and laugh at each other more.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah. We've had people say, like, I didn't understand you two at first, but now that I've been around you guys for a while. So she would come out and say, oh, no, his new thing is when he blah, 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 blahs. And he feels we have too many wine glasses, and then we're down to four because I just recycle them. Well, I'm not wasteful. The kids break them when they wash them.
When they wash them.
Now that we're on the wife track, to accommodate the size of my wife's new water bottle, we've replaced the passenger seat of their car with a cup holder.
What is the deal with these things?
Like,
The Stanley people.
Stanley people. Oh, my gosh.
Man.
But seriously, this big, that tall.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like 8 a.m. Keep going. You're doing great. It's like this cheer on drink water you're drinking.
Drink
like
water.
Like
There are people at our school.
What do you think they're doing? Drinking mimosas?
The morning will have one with a handle on it and some big obnoxious straw. And they literally will go like this, and then they'll hold it down at their side, and then they'll take... Then there's the whole second level tier, which is the Stanley, and paying $3,000 for someone that traditionally makes hardware, but now putting out the rare cup that, you know, comes out every...
It's crazy.
Those cups are that much?
No, they're really expensive.
Wake up and smell the irony.
Well, that's just crazy.
Or sarcasm. That's the word I was looking for.
Look, it's your fountain. It's kind of small.
Yeah. Well, no fountain tonight. I know.
It's making me dizzy.
Mark doesn't understand Stanleys.
I don't care about it.
Stanleys replaced the Yeti cups.
Yes. I'm aware of the phenomenon.
And then before the Yeti cups, there was the... And then there's the crazier ones. Ooh. Oh, the hummingbird come down?
Hummingbird.
He likes this little flower right here. We just had a little hummingbird. Could be spiritual. But anybody that has Stanley Cups out there, don't. No, I'm only kidding. They're fine. Just
they're fine. It's
Stanley's
just,
a great brand. I just don't see the purpose of.
I like them for hammers and tape measures and stuff, not for drinking.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, well, there's two. I'll just throw this one out because we're having an Olympics quiz later on. This is from Please Be Gneiss, G-N-I-E-I-S-S. Olympians only bite their medals because they are curious. They are not trying to eat them. They just use their mouths to investigate objects like sharks. So, that's funny. I think this will come out probably, well, I know it'll come out post-Olympics, but Simone Biles and the ladies, amazing, by the way. The Olympics have been so much fun.
So good.
And they did this amazing TikTok where they took their medals and they were like, they were biting them. Yeah, like, athletes bite their gold medals. So that's why I threw that one in there. The Olympics have been so good. So many storylines. Mm-hmm. I love the stories. I mean, I'm sure millions and millions of people have already broken this down. But, yeah, there's still some good ones going on right now. But gymnastics was amazing. Track and field. The purple track alone. Oh, that thing's so awesome.
So cool.
Opening ceremonies. A lot of my friends work on the opening and closing stuff. Nice. Not necessarily the games.
Those are some wild opening ceremonies, though. Man. Yeah. Very untraditional, let's say.
Yeah, well, it's France, right? It's like artistic, edgy. I think London was probably, I think Beijing did a really, they all do a really nice job in their own way.
Seeing them walk around the track and wave in the boats like on the Seine. We're kind of, and then the whole Maria Antoinette's
Rio was amazing.
Yeah.
And the closing ceremonies are fun, but the opening, man, there's just, it's a good 2 weeks, and then it trickles right into football. It's like, so close. Thank you, Olympics. Thank you.
I know, all it's right. giving us something to love.
Yeah. Coming up next, smart articles by smart people.
Smart articles by smart people.
All right, this one is smart article by smart person, Megan O'Giblin. I hope I'm saying that correctly. She writes for a magazine called Wired, and Wired, as you know, is a really Silicon Valley, a tech-based news magazine. A lot of really good stuff in there all the time. But this one caught my eye. I was just perusing it at my local coffee place, and it's "My Kids Want to Be an Influencer. Is That Bad?" So my first question to you is, I think I asked a little earlier, has your kid ever said, like, I want to be that person, or that's what I want to do? And what was your response? Mark, you can go ahead.
Yeah, they did, and I didn't want to squash creativity, but at the same time, had a conversation about monetizing, and, if you want to do something like that, there's certain things you need to do to achieve that goal. I'm not against it, but I'm also understanding the ramifications of that kind of intrusion on your life. Anyway, I had a long conversation. I've even had probably less than age appropriate conversations with the younger ones at the time they were asking, just not that it was inappropriate, but just trying to speak on a level that was like, listen, this is going to be a pretty major thing. Again, if my kid had the gumption and had the angle and the ability to market it, then I would support it only to a point where I felt like it was safe.
Wow.
Anyway.
There's Mark for you.
Yeah. There you go. There you go, Mike.
All right. Coming up next, our quiz on the Olympics. I don't know. Because I've done the rebellious careers my whole life, but it's hard because there's guys like Mr. Beast. Right. He does a lot of good for the world as well as, makes his millions and spares his million. But what is that? I don't know what that's teaching. Like, I think that the test is still out and the results are not back. I've produced television and I've had high-end influencers on these shows, and I'm constantly monitoring their first of all, it's a grind, right? It's a complete grind, whether it's makeup or whether it's Logan Paul's stuff or whether Mr. Beast or the D'Amelio's, like whoever it is, they got to constantly feed the beast, right? So there's that part, and they make a lot of money, let's not lie, like it's a good life they instantly have. But then what is there? What is what is next?
Well, like, the give is the part that I don't think people who want to be influencers necessarily see. I don't think they understand. I mean, a kid sees somebody on YouTube and they follow them and they see them being successful, and they don't fully understand the behind the scenes of what it takes to be successful in that industry, which is, again, why I was saying when I talked to my kids, I'm like, well, yeah, like, you know, find your shtick, find your space, and then like understand, like,
Maybe. Let's go a little further though. Here's the question. Whenever my 6-year-old daughter gets asked what she wants to be when she grows up, she says an influencer. The thought of it freaks me out. What should I do? That's the letter that kicks this off. So I will read parts of this quickly. You can two-time it if you want. And then we'll talk about kind of where we're at. Because your girls are older, so I'd be interested to see. I mean, they have heads on their shoulders, but have you ever had this conversation? Dear Under, your question made me think about Diana Christensen, the main character in the Patty Chayefsky 1976 film Network, played by Faye Dunaway. Christensen, young network news exec who is meant to represent the moral bankruptcy of a generation that was raised on TV. One character calls her a television incarnate. While charismatic and highly capable, she is also rampantly amoral, viciously competitive, and so obsessed with ratings, she famously has a blank while discussing viewership numbers. The character clearly piqued pervasive cultural anxiety about TV's corrupting influence, though, with a little distance, it's not hard to see her depiction in the film as moralizing and heavy-handed. The New Yorker's Pauline Kael put in her review, "What she's really complaining about is what barroom philosophers have always complained about, the soulless worshipers at false shrines, the younger generation." Now, I mentioned only the film to get the way out of the way, the most obvious objection to your freakout, one I'm sure you've already considered, namely that every generation fears new forms of media are false shrines corrupting the youth, and that these concerns are ultimately myopic, reactionary, and destined to appear in hindsight as so much unfounded hand-wringing. Now, that's interesting to me, because what that does, it turns the tables back on the adults. Now, what made our world so great when we were watching, we only had 3 channels, 5 channels, 20 channels, 70, you know, whatever. But, and that's all, we talk about that stuff a lot. Oh, it was a simpler time and all we did. But I mean, the idolatry,
yeah,
that we placed on these divisions of life, and to us, it seemed great. And the older people behind us were saying, he watches TV all day and eats sugar cereals.
Right.
You know? I think that if your kid, like, you know, wanted to be an actor or a singer or a performer or things like that, I mean, I don't see that being that much different than being an influencer. I mean, you're still sort of like, you know,
influencers or entertainers.
Yeah, entertaining.
But to the point of what you just said is that, yes, we definitely are more pessimistic about the technology and how maybe art and expression is sent to us. And, you know, because I can get mad at my kids for being on their phones or iPads too much, and it's because
I didn't have an iPad when I was a kid. We had to wait till 8 o'clock to watch that
TV
show.
And your parents would say, TV rots your brain. Stop watching TV.
Right. Know? So I that's why I like this article, because it really did kind of place a bit of a like, oh, okay, well, that's interesting to think about.
For me, I feel like it comes down to like fear of the unknown. Like, yes, this new thing, we don't know what it's going to be, what it's going to be. And so, like, I don't know. Like, that's why you're like, oh, don't go there, or there's some trepidation there. But I don't know. Again, I feel like it's just kind of like us getting older and not being hip with it, or whatever the kids are saying these days, probably not hip with it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And again, like, I wouldn't have thought of, like, scientific studies. You know, I don't think my parents were too into them seeing what television rot your brain kind of a thing.
Right.
Like, you know, there's definitely ties into, let's say, video games or elongated periods of time in front of a screen. That's not, you know, where I'm going totally. But, yeah, like, the verdict's not out yet. All I see, however, is people that get there so fast, then they don't know what to do.
But that's the same if you suddenly become a famous actor.
Right.
Or in sports.
Or a singer. NBA contract or any of those things. So,
well, yeah, that was my analogy that I thought of in my head. I remember reading this article about Magic Johnson, who used to, when he left the sport, he started managing athletes. And, you know, all these athletes would walk into his office with all the bling, and he'd be like, okay, look at that stuff. That's the last you're ever going to buy if you want to maintain this level of wealth after your career's over. So, yeah, there's that side, you know, as well. I'm going to skip around through the article. I'm not going to read it directly. But if I were to guess, your objections to influencing her as a future occupation for your daughter, I imagine they might include the fact that the profession, for all its vaunted democratic appeal, quote unquote, anybody can be famous, conceals its competitive hierarchies, to Mark's point, that its spoils are unreliable and largely concentrated at the top, that it requires becoming a vapid mascot for brands, that if, hey, don't you slight my mascots, that it fails to demand meaningful contributions to one community, that it requires blurring between personal and professional roles, that the mandates of likes, shares, and follows amount to a life of frantic people-pleasing and social conformity that inevitably destroys one's capacity for independent thinking, which is a lot of what Mark said off the bat. So as much as I always give Mark a little ribbing,
ooh,
I'll give him a cheer for that
cheer.
One.
Nice.
He came out of the gate swinging. Or he read the article and then memorized part of it.
No, I read
it. Knowing that's what we were going to do.
I read it, but I also have lived with kids who enjoy watching influencers and who talk about influencing. And, you know, I know we've always talked about this, Mike, but it's like, be more of a creator than a consumer. Like, or if you're going to, or try and balance it at least. If you go 50-50, I'll be happy. I'd rather 75-25, but don't go 90-10 and be so consumed with other people's content, because, I mean, it's great to learn content, but what are you doing with it after you've learned it, right? So, anyway.
No, it's good stuff. I mean, she says, maybe you're on, hell, this goes back to us again. Maybe your uneasiness goes even deeper than that. If I can turn the problem back on you, perhaps your instinctive aversion to your daughter's aspirations has raised more probing questions about the source and validity of your own values. Ooh. Any serious attempt to think through the perils and possibilities of new technologies, what Chris kind of said, forces you to realize many of your own beliefs are a little than amorphous, untested assumptions formed by the era in which you were raised. Are the artists you grew up idolizing, musicians, filmmakers, novelists, any less shallow and narcissistic than the TikTok and YouTube personality your daughter idolizes? That's a level set.
Yeah.
It is, but I think that the frequency at which we were exposed to influence as kids was far less than it is today. So, I mean, you could binge Mr. Beast like for, you know, I don't know how many, probably a long time, right?
Right.
But like, you know, but what's the possibilities of you watching, like, you know, Charlie's Angels because you got a thing for, you know, Farrah Fawcett? Like, you couldn't.
Every Thursday.
But my point.
You guys constantly throw yourself into the elderly conversation. Yeah.
That's not elderly.
Charlie's Angels. All right. What, 1970s?
77.
He says it like,
I don't know what he's talking about.
Please, just let it go.
Right.
All right, we'll give you Charlie's Angels.
At least I don't have old man ears.
Picking on my old man ears. Such realizations can inspire fatalism, but they can also lead to a more expansive and meaningful understanding of your own fears. So these discussions, you got to look inside to look outside. My intent in reminding you of the anxieties of previous generations, all that collective angst about television, movies, newspapers, and theaters, to help you see your situation as part of a lineage, a rite of passage through which all generations must proceed. If we are to believe Plato's Phaedrus, and even Socrates fell prey to griping about the popularity of writing, a medium he feared would produce forgetfulness in the minds of those who learn to use it, because they will not practice their memory.
Mm. Ooh.
See?
Wow.
Jeez, going back
stupid
to the
writing.
Old boys.
That's like those books.
OG, Socrates and Plato.
Man.
To see this problem historically might also prompt you to consider, as a parent, what kinds of life lessons transcend the particulars of a given economy. See, I told you this was a smart article by a smart person.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I would like to believe that alongside all the ephemeral. I know. Margarita. Ephemeral, inherited assumptions we absorb in our youth, there are some pearls of enduring wisdom that will remain true and valuable for generations to come. Ideally, it's these more lasting truths that you want to pass down to your daughter that will equip her to have an influence no matter what she chooses for work. Boom.
Mic drop.
I think that article changed my mind. And I think that gave me a different perspective on how to approach this moving forward. Here's another question, though. Let me just sidebar this topic. What if your kid comes to you and says, I want to be a gamer? How do you handle that?
I think it's the same sort of philosophy of this article that, like, you know, let's try to put aside your own fears of this unknown, that it's something that you're not familiar with, and try to understand that this potentially could actually be.
No, I get it. Right? I get it. Twitch streamers make a ton of money. Like, high-end gamers make a lot of money.
But it would be the same as if I wanted to be a musician, or if they came and said, hey, I wanted to be a professional golfer.
Well, or it's like, also like that guy that's the ping pong player that his parents were just like, the one from Palo Alto, they were like, stop trying to do ping pong. It's like, we're lawyers and engineers and doctors.
I mean, I guess there's two sides to everything, but I don't know. I just feel like creativity is one thing. And my son would argue that, Dad, I have to be creative to solve these games and puzzles.
Yeah.
And, you know, depending on what it is, or these worlds, or, yeah.
But you can be a game tester, and then you can be a game producer.
Oh, I know. My friend Mark did it for Sony right here in Foster City.
Yeah.
And Mark ended up with a great career.
Yeah. My friend Tony was at Electronic Arts. So I know that you can game and make money.
I would say also the balance of it, too, is like you don't want to be on the flip side where you're not supportive of your kids' interests.
Oh, 1,000%. You know? That's why I like this stuff, though, because it makes me understand more versus being the old, you're not going to do that.
And
you're going to get
also,
it go.
The good thing is that they are kind of savvy. I mean, I'm sure that it's not everybody, but I think that the kids these days, just like we knew, that I knew I'm not going to be in the NBA, you know, like as much as I want to play basketball, it's just not going to happen. And I think that we're all, just like we know we're not going to be a rock star or whatever, like it's really hard to be an influencer or a gamer. And there are
for
only
sure
a handful of those successful ones. And there's a billion of the ones that don't make money and can't.
Well, then there's
live
the flash
that,
in
you
know? The pans, too.
Yeah.
Right? Like how long without a real skill set? She may have one. I just don't. No, the Hawktua girl. Like, how long is that 15 minutes going to last? I don't know. But, like, kids see her, and they're like, oh, look, she did it with that statement in that video and the meme, and now she's on stage with Zach Bryan, or
yeah,
she's on the podcast with the Barstool people.
I'm not sure I'd be that proud of my kid if she was well, that
that's
one,
all
you.
I'm saying. It's
that's
like
the 15 minutes of fame.
It's a yeah wild frontier.
It is wild.
And, you know, four television stations and KISS was a little easier to navigate for parents, but yeah, was it, right? That's what the article kind of sums up.
We were also allowed to ride our bikes for miles and not
right
come home for 8 hours.
And blow stuff up. And
right, so we had a whole different trip.
M80s were always around.
Right.
Yeah. All right, I guess.
I will say this article is one of the better written ones than we usually go through, like in terms of just writing skill. Like,
yeah, for yeah sure.
Well, it's well written, but it also, like you were talking about, level setting and really kind of painting pictures that even goes back to Socrates. Like
yeah,
when you're having those pictures painted of generational differences, it makes us be a little bit more thoughtful about, okay, let's pump the brakes, see what they're talking about, see if there's value or something to redeem. Because that was the other thing about the article that I liked about the influence. Like we as parents want to influence our children and maybe don't feel so great when other people or other things are influencing
yeah
them. So we also have to understand that they're going to get influenced from other places, and we have to watch and see that through.
Yeah, Mark, that was beautiful.
Wow.
Sorry.
Double cheers for you.
Well,
I gave him Twilight. Let me give him
I
gave him a Twilight. Let
wow
me give him a harp's more fitting.
I started
great
flying
words
when I first got
he's
here.
He's doing the arms again.
Yeah, he's doing the flappy arms.
You know I got the hummingbird.
Why is he
here
doing the flappy
right
arms?
Because I'm calling the hummingbirds back to the yard.
Anyway, Wicked Smart Cloud
yeah
or
my milkshake brings all the birds to the yard.
My
all right
shakes.
Coming up next, a quiz about the timely or untimely, by the time you hear this, Olympics.
Yes.
Challenge yourself in the car. Let's go.
It's quiz time! Parrot quiz! Quiz, 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 quiz.
All right, it's time for our Olympics quiz. I figure like the Olympics have been around 72,000 years, so they're never really out of style. So if you listen to this and say we put it out in December, you know, you'll still be like, oh, I remember the Olympics.
It's evergreen.
Yeah. Okay, but we're gonna change this up a little bit. I'm going to give you a couple topics, and you can pick the topic you want to be quizzed on. I'll roll through them very quickly. You can choose from swimming, athletics, badminton, hockey, kayak, judo, BMX freestyle, skateboarding, football, French venues, fencing, weightlifting, taekwondo, or Bastille Day.
Swimming.
Skateboarding.
I'm going to go skateboarding.
Or swimming.
All right. We're going to start with skateboarding now, an Olympic event. Gosh. There's only like four questions, so don't get your panties in a wad. All right, here we go. Get ready for skateboarding. Which of the skateboarding disciplines will take place at Paris 2024? Slalom and downhill, street and park, street and vert and park.
Vert and street park. And park.
The avid skateboarder says street and park. Let's see if he's correct. And he is correct, Amundo. Hold on.
It's watching.
When did skateboarding debut in the Olympics? Tokyo, 2020. Atlanta, 1996. Fun fact, I was an intern. Los Angeles, 1984. Or Rio, 2016. When did skateboarding debut in the Olympics?
Tokyo?
Tokyo.
Was that the last one, right? 2020?
Tokyo.
Just pick an area.
Not this one, but the one before. Tokyo, I think. Japan?
He says Tokyo. The correct answer is Tokyo.
Hey, no.
One of my favorite cities on planet Earth, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I've been to every city on planet Earth, but it's one of my favorite cities.
Huh. I want to go there.
Which of the following tricks exists and is often seen in skateboarding? Gymnastic cake, judo air, boxing ring, or tennis ball? Which of the following tricks exists and is often seen in skateboarding?
Judo air.
Yeah, judo air.
Mark, who doesn't skateboard, agrees with the skateboarder.
Everyone skateboarded in the 80s.
And went Mark the never skateboarded.
Yeah, I did.
He was too tall. He's like Lurch. He just... he couldn't see the board.
Good visual.
It's like Daddy Long Legs. Judo air is correct. That is correct. All right, hold on. I didn't give you a cheer. All right, we're going to have to move on because that's all the questions allotted. What is your next topic of choice?
Swimming.
We'll do swimming.
You're going to go back to swimming. The king of the split times over here, Harveyville. Here we go.
Yes.
Swimming will take place at the Paris La Défense Arena. Which team is the usual tenant? Is it Paris Basketball? Stade Français? I'm going to mangle all this. Paris Saint-Germain? Or Racing 92? Which is the usual tenant of the swimming venue?
Racing 92.
I'm going to say that's a cool one. Saint-Germain.
I think I'm going to go with that one too because I think rugby's a little too...
Mark is right.
Mark is right.
Of course, he's the swimming guy.
He's the swimming guy. I forgot about that. But that doesn't mean he had no venues.
They didn't have... Oh, football on there must have been soccer. That should be next.
Right.
I want that.
Interesting. All right, we're going to have to move on from swimming because the computer is not doing what we want it to. But we will go to a very hot topic of the day. Olympic Day, it's called. We'll see how this one shakes out. We're getting ready for Olympic Day. Let's go. Olympic Day is the celebration of the Olympic movement and a day to promote a healthy and active lifestyle. True or false?
True.
I guess. Yeah, true.
I feel like it would have to be true. And the correct answer is true. What are the Olympic values? Excellence, respect, friendship, unity, respect, tolerance, peace, truth, and respect, or freedom, friendship, and humility?
First one.
Yeah, the first one.
Okay, they say excellent respect and friendship, and the answer is correct.
Yes.
It is excellent respect.
This is like our best parent quiz ever.
Yeah, you guys are doing good. We're going to move on to Olympic cuisine really quickly.
Ooh, here we go.
At the Olympic Village, the chefs must prepare food for all athletes. True or false?
True.
I guess.
Wow. That's a pretty tough one there, Olympic Channel. But yes, it is true. How much of the menu served at the Olympic Village will be sourced from France? How much?
100%. From France?
80, 100, 75, or 50?
I'm going to say 100.
Although, the international cuisine
understand that there's a charter that the city has to sign about sustainability and all this other stuff.
All right.
How does he know? So, then, if he had something coming from someplace else, that messes up the whole sustainability. It's agrarian by nature.
The correct answer is
80%. Can't be 100. That's hard.
Can't be 100.
Yeah, you got to import those ramen noodles and stuff.
All right. Which color is not part of the Olympic symbol? Is it green, blue, red, or purple?
Purple. Right? Purple. There's yellow, black, green, red. Yeah, purple is not one of them.
That is correct. It is purple, which is the color of the track and field track.
It's a lovely
track. By the way, it's an amazing track.
Lovely
track. I love that venue.
Are they always that close? These finishes are crazy.
They're
it's been nuts. Thousands of a second.
Little Noah Lyles. I love
it. Man. So fun
to
watch.
The photo finishes?
Like yeah, the one with the torso.
Yeah. Oh,
the 100.
That was crazy.
I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
How did they figure that out in the 70s?
I don't know.
I guess Joe just won it. That's a dance off.
Let's develop the photo.
Yeah.
2 days later,
we'll give you the medal.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, they drove it to a photo mat in the city, like, just went through.
You know the booth. Archery? I was seeing...
the guy from Turkey that didn't use anything?
Oh, the
shooter.
No, but the archery, the way they show it on TV, it looks like the target's just right there, but when they zoom out,
it's so far away.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
The Turkish shooter was like, that was awesome.
Especially, juxtaposed with that Korean girl that had like the...
Bionic arm,
the crazy targeting reticle.
Oh, yeah, like the Terminator.
And, yeah.
And he's just
this guy's got a toothpick, hand in his jeans. It was awesome.
It was pretty awesome. It's like John Daly.
Yeah.
Just rolls up on the course, one hands it with a heater and a Pabst Blue Ribbon. Exactly.
Right.
I always wonder, like, how they get into the really defined, unique sports. Like, you wake up one day and just say, you know what? That pole, I think I need to get over the neighbor's fence. And the dad says, Jim, give it a shot. If you can figure it out, we may get you some proper equipment.
We're going to build you a whole big thing in
the
yard.
That pole vault.
Dude, that pole vault guy.
The Swedish guy.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the other guy we won't talk about.
Yeah. Right. But the one who set the record.
That was amazing.
Speaking of parenting, his dad built him a pole vault.
Yeah.
In Louisiana.
It's crazy.
In Louisiana. I was like,
all right, we got to get back to the quiz.
Yes,
We're driving off the road at this point. It's getting sad. Sorry, listeners. The five rings represent the union of five blanks.
Ooh, the original countries?
Colors, creeds, countries, or continents?
Continents.
Five rings represent the union of five...
countries?
Continents.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Well, I'm not right. The website's right. It's the official
Mark
Olympic website.
I was right.
Mark was right?
Yes.
I was thinking
he probably took the quiz ahead of time.
Early Greece that they only knew five, you know, like they're like,
I knew what quiz you were doing. Holy mackerel.
Like my grandma used to watch Wheel of Fortune on the earlier show. In Philadelphia, they had a 3 o'clocker and then a 7 o'clocker.
She'd game it.
She'd like one letter in and she'd be like, Lord of the Rings.
I'd be like, Grandma,
how did you get that?
You're a psychic.
She didn't buy a vowel or anything.
Now make me a cheesesteak.
Let's go buy some lottery tickets.
When was the symbols official Olympic Games debut? The symbols, the Olympic rings, the official games debut. 1924, 1920, 1913, or 1957?
20.
Says 20?
I'm going 24.
Says 24. Sorry, Mark. Your streak is over. The correct answer, Chris, is 1920.
Hey, what a good guess.
I'm still one up on
him. Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's not a deal.
All right, whatever.
A little wrestle.
You got that
afterwards
Mark Spitz question.
All right, final question coming about the Olympic flame.
Snoop Dogg.
He didn't light it, did he?
No.
He was a torchbearer.
Who lit the flame in Paris?
I don't know.
I didn't see it because we were out in the town in Tennessee.
My cousin carried the flame in one of the Olympics.
Through the streets, not the actual.
Yeah.
He didn't like hand it to Muhammad Ali in Atlanta.
He might have, but you know that's a different
story. Mark, we know you. We're not sure how far it goes or how deep we go. How is the flame lit?
How's the flame lit?
Sun, parabolic mirror, ceremonial fire. Flame from previous games, or using a lighter?
Well, it's ceremonial fire, but it's from a previous...
Is it? They don't keep it up lit. I actually don't think keep the Olympic flame lit the whole time.
Yeah. But I mean,
I don't know. But in ancient times, to guarantee its purity, the flame was lit using the sun rays captured sun.
Oh, in ancient times.
Well, yeah, but
I didn't know now, it's, ancient times,
now it's just fire.
Yeah, well, you know, I wasn't around back then, so I'm not really sure.
You weren't? Your ears say something different.
All right, you want to do one more? We're going to head to things that make us smile.
Sure.
Yeah, we got one more in us. Let's pick a rando. Speaking of Snoop Dogg, he's a big fan of the equestrian events. Let's see what we got here.
He was dressed in dressage.
He was commentating on the equestrian.
Yeah, he so and Kevin Hart funny. Just kill me.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm looking for a good question. A fountain dedicated to which Greek god was recently restored in the Palace of Versailles Gardens? Which is all the
Zeus,
the horses. And
I was going to say Zeus, but
Apollo, yeah. Zeus, Athena, or Neptune?
Neptune.
Yeah,
isn't that the water dude?
Yeah, Neptune.
Water dude.
Yes.
Yeah. Aquaman.
Like. You know.
It's Apollo, of course.
Apollo, all right.
Yeah, we all knew that.
The sun god.
All right, well, that will wrap up the quiz. I can hear the people in the cars around the world right now cheering us on. Coming up next, things that make us smile. All right, it's time for things that make us smile. Wow, what a beautiful night. I have got a lot that makes me smile. I started this 5 minutes a day gratitude journal with it. You write every day, basically things that make you smile at the end of the day, and then you reflect on it. And as they build in your little book, you can look back and remember specifically. And I talked to this about another show. I'm really getting into gratitude and just relaxing with gratitude and realizing how good personally we have it compared to a lot of people in the world. So a lot of things made me smile this week. Let me just pull off the top of my head. My family always has funny highlights, obviously the cologne, my other child's getting ready for high school debut tomorrow, her orientation. We all just got back from a great family trip to Tennessee. Now we're taking one more little action-packed family trip down to Los Angeles, and I just love traveling with my family, and they always make me smile no matter what. I think we're pretty good travelers at this point, and I'm really grateful for that.
I'm happy that, you know, it's just good to have the family back at home while the kid's home from school.
Yes.
It's just really great. They're both have, like, part-time jobs and are working, so that's kind of cute. I like to see them, I don't know, my oldest daughter driving my youngest to work in the morning, and she actually drove on the freeway for the first time and drove her to a golf tournament. So, like, that's, I don't know, I just feel like, oh, pat on the back, Dad.
Kind of a big deal. Raising them
pretty well, and I don't know, I was having dinner with my in-laws and my parents all together, and I was just kind of sitting back thinking, like, how blessed and lucky I am that right now both my parents are here, my in-laws
sure.
are here, and that I could call them and spend time with them, and, you know, I just kind of wanted to, you know, appreciate that.
That is funny, like, every time we go back to Tennessee, we have a large portion of our family there. And we always think in our heads, we're like, let's hold on to this because we don't know when we go back for the next trip if everybody's going to be in the picture.
Right.
You know, that type of thing. You know, even us at some point, you know, it's all kind of inevitable. So you just hold on to these good times.
Exactly.
And it's great. Mark? I cooked a Chateaubriand.
No, Thursday. I did not. However, let's see. I was fortunate to go on a bay cruise and hang out with Will Clark.
Will Clark.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Will the Thrill, they called him back.
And got his autograph and actually got to have a fairly, I shouldn't say lengthy, but longer than you would expect to have a conversation with a pro ball player. And
he was just on the boat that you were on? Or?
Well, no, it was an event that my wife was invited to, and we went, and we were the first on the boat.
Rotary
and,
Club?
And no. And we walked up, and Michelle was like, oh, hi, I'm Michelle. He goes, oh, I'm Will. And I'm like, Yeah, I know. My wife didn't know who he was.
But he was just on the boat, or he was
part of the event.
Just randomly on the boat, sightseeing.
No, he was part of the event. He was part of an event, but because we were there early, we had to got to chat him up. That was really cool. So it was.
Did he wear his uni and eye black and everything?
No. He's wearing a giant shirt. But you know, he's from Louisiana, and we talked food and a bunch. Anyway, he's a cool guy, man. I'm telling you, that made me smile. That was fun because you know
that made us.
As a lifelong ball player and ball fan,
it's really cool.
Soccer makes me smile. I got my new team going, and even though there's some fits here and there, it's still fun to coach soccer. I coach children who play soccer. I don't coach soccer balls. Yeah, my daughter started high school. That's fun. She's enjoying it so far, so that's good. And
started school already?
Yeah, Wednesday.
Wow. And so then mine.
Oh wow, you guys are early, or maybe
well, we just did orientation though. Nothing big deal.
No, she's like in like
summer's over.
The daily day, summer's over, and then
she'll mess around in his valley.
Whoa. That's true. The Trove Valley don't mess. And then next weekend we're driving my son up to college and dropping him off.
What are you doing with him?
We're gonna launch him.
You're gonna launch him finally.
Yeah, I still
the build up to the launch.
I still haven't
forever.
Got the Cape Canaveral crew together. They're failing me. I don't.
You driving up there?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun drive. Well, the park fire, be careful.
Oh, that's, yeah, we'll be fine. So, yeah, that makes me smile. Awesome. My family makes me smile. You guys make me smile. Being here makes me smile. Good weather makes me smile.
All right, it all is good stuff. And football's right around the corner. Yeehaw! I just got invited to my first jobs of the year, and I'm very excited about that.
Nice.
But not as excited about Reunited, and it feels so good.
What?
I like reuniting for the podcast.
Read
between the lines.
Peaches and herb.
I don't know. That was
herb or herb.
You had a weird look on
herb.
Your face. When you were
singing. Could be herb.
Around here, it could be any herb. Thank you, listening out there. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, followers. Thank you for people that comment or even people that pitch us guests all the time. We get a lot of people pitching us authors to be on the show and stuff like that. We're not really an interview show, but we do appreciate the offers consistently and regularly, and it's very exciting. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll catch you at the next DTO, next Dad Jokes, and all the good stuff. We're the Dad Timeout Show, and we are out of here.
Good night.
See you.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Timeout Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour.
My turn! Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to our Time Out Show. And we're out of here.